Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Our play-by-play call of the day.
Here's Kessel moving in. She scores! 1-0, Team USA, Amanda Kessel opens the scoring in Beijing.
And Team USA went on to beat Finland. In Game 1, the Olympics are underway. The opening ceremonies are done, but that's what NBC will play back tonight. Beginning at 8 o'clock will be the opening ceremonies. Okay. So for the final time this week, a mystery guest. So,
what do you want to hint? I'm fresh off the golf course in Clearwater, Florida, and this is Wheels from Bluebell.
Well, I was just telling the story the other day about the stout kickoff.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny when you said that. That made me laugh, I'll tell you.
But that's me, you know what? You know, that's because I think the world of you, that's for one thing. But that's, you know, but you know, you get to the point when you do this, how relaxed you are.
Yeah.
So you're relaxed enough to say something like that because you're like, headed toward Wheels' house.
Well, you've always had him kicking a football from to some ridiculous distances and places. So why not my condo over here? Yeah, that was good.
I mean, look, when we were in Madison, I had him kicking it to Appleton. Okay, so in Michigan State, I had him kicking at the Grand Rapids. It was only appropriate I had you in there. So,
hey, next year you may have to talk about some kickoff returns for the first time in a few years.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I may have to brush up on that. remember how to do that.
All right, it's been a while.
It's been a while. All right, so this is what I'm really so thrilled you're on because there's so many things I want to talk to you about. All right, so you got some time here?
Oh, I'm retired.
a lot of people were hoping I'd be. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm retired and enjoying myself down here in Florida, so I got all the time in the world for you.
Perfect. So let's start with this. You endured, you know, 81. You endured, you know, what, 85 briefly, 94, 95, and others. Along the way, you endured all that.
All of them.
When you see how it's playing out right now, what runs through your mind because you have lived through it and it's affected your livelihood?
Well, the number one thing that runs through my mind is how that it ticks the fans off, and that's the last thing you want to do in your business, as you know, Steve. You don't want your fans upset at you, and this thing, because they don't care. They don't care what the issues are. They just want to see the games, and want to see the owners and the players, you know, get down to business and get it over with and play. But the worst thing is, you know, obviously I was on the ownership side for so long, and you know they have their issues. But the players, it's a lot of times it's different guys. They haven't been through this stuff, and they really don't understand the ramifications of it. And what you're dealing with right now is a whole new generation, complete with the union leadership, that it's totally different. It's totally different. They haven't got to go through this yet, and they don't understand how serious it is. And all of a sudden, the clock starts ticking, and you're getting close to these deadlines, and you're not getting anything done. Like they turn down the mediation. Well, I wasn't surprised about that. So
right,
it's unfortunate. And the other thing is, you know, players don't get paid until the season starts. So you know, and they don't half of them don't like spring training anyway. You know, they don't want to be down here for 6 weeks. So you know, there's no urgency, unfortunately.
Great points. And here's a point I've made on the show regardless of the sport, there's a triangle that makes sports work. You need owners. I mean, you need money. Okay? You need players. They're the centerpiece of what the owners are investing in. But the third part of the triangle is the part that's always left out that you brought up. It's the fans. None of this happens without them. They're the ones that subscribe to Cape. They're the ones that buy tickets. They're the ones that buy merchandise.
Yeah, and it, believe me, ownership thinks about it more than the players do. The players are the players. They have their, they all think the owners are so wealthy and that they should be making more money, and like any employee does. But the real world does not want to hear about these kind of hissing contests between people making a lot of money and then the owners, who of course are multimillionaires for the most part. Not all players make a lot of money, and that a lot of this is what this is about, is about service time and trying to get guys to make more money when they're younger, because the last negotiation it actually did take the average salaries down for the last 2 years. So I think that's what they're playing off right now. And if anybody were to sit down and try and explain the issues to people, you'd glaze over in about 2 minutes.
It would
get so boring trying to listen to it.
Oh, exactly. Exactly right. I know the fans in Pittsburgh were hoping that there'd be a cap because the cap would mean a floor. And I guess the owners proposed a $100 million floor. And the players rejected it because they said, if you want a floor, that means you want a cap. We said no. They said no. It's interesting. I mean, the way this is. And you're right. And fans will glaze over in a second, like, oh, God, it's millionaires.
Oh, yeah, they
don't
want to hear it. And, Steve, people, I went through all eight of them, or eight, seven, eight, nine, whatever they are. The first one, I think, was 71 or 72. So, the number one issue, I used to get it all the time when I go out. How come you guys don't have a salary cap? And I said, well, what the heck do you think all those labor stoppages were about? They weren't able to do it. They kept losing in court, or they would beat themselves. The owners would beat themselves, and Marvin Miller and Don Fear beat them like a drum in those days. So there's no salary cap. So sure, would you like to have a salary cap? Yeah. Will the players ever, ever, ever go anywhere near a salary cap in baseball? No chance.
No chance. Now let's talk about what we do. And it was interesting that I was interviewed yesterday, and the interviewer asked me about, positivity, negativity, and so forth. And I said, look, I said, you got to understand, over time, you develop relationships with people. I said, is it your goal in a relationship or a friendship or whatever? I said, I'm sorry, you can't avoid it. You end up, you can't keep putting up the wall. There's one person on the face of the earth I thought about as I was saying this, was that you and I have walked this parallel deal along the way, where Charlie Manuel trusted you to talk about stuff that would never see the light of day. I mean, you don't think James or Micah or what, or I'm standing there seeing it, that doesn't make the light of day? Of course not, because that's not how it goes.
Yeah.
It's not realistic.
Well, there's absolutely, you and I have talked about this over the years because of what we do and what I did. I mean, what you still do and what I did for so many years. And I did pregame shows with managers for a long, long time. And the first thing that you find out is they will decide whether or not they're going to trust you or not. And you can't make that happen. And after a period of time, they'll trust you. And as you know, the greatest thing about them telling you things is not that you'll use them, but they'll lead you in the right direction so you don't go off half-cocked on something.
Exactly.
And I always felt that was the best part of it.
Exactly. In other words, it's that kind of, quote, deep background material that keeps you from doing something stupid. This has always been the theory I've had about this. Chris Wheeler knows a ton about broadcasting and how the nuts and bolts of broadcasting works. I think I'm in the same category. The head football coach, the head basketball coach, or the baseball manager know exponentially more about football, basketball, and baseball than I do, even though I think I know a lot, but they know way more, but I know more about the broadcasting of it.
Absolutely, and that's the whole thing about when you're doing that, is you're doing an interview that you're taping for the most part. So if something goes horribly wrong, you can fix it. But yeah, for the most part, you're doing something that you don't want to touch, that when it's over, it's over. And you've gotten into the, Steve, the hardest thing, and you go through it with James, and you went through it with Joe, and I went through it because we would do it daily almost.
Yeah. Well,
something would happen the night before, and then when talk radio came along, they'd be blabbing about it all day. And now you can't do a pregame show with the manager that night and not ask him about that situation that occurred the night before and why he did it and what he was thinking. Now, you don't have to beat him up about it because you're not a talk show host. But you need, I can't begin to tell you how many times I would look at a guy and say, look, this happened last night, it's all over the place, we got to go into this. No, and 9 times out of 10, they look at you and say, no problem. Once in a while, they go, well, we got to be careful with this, and then we would figure out what we were going to do.
Every time I've been in that spot, I've done the same thing. I said, I have to bring this up. And you know what I've always had? I know you'll ask it the right way. Right? It's all how you ask it, because the key to asking it is that you do it in such a way that just allows them to say whatever they want to say about it.
Well, I think you just brought up one of the best points, because it's a lost art nowadays, and I hear you how you do interviews, and I've known you for so long, and you teach classes and all, but people don't ask questions when they do interviews.
Oh.
They make a two-minute statement. They'll make a two-minute statement, and then what's the guy going to say? Yeah, right. I did that one time with Jim Fregosi. Jim Fregosi looked at me with those glasses down over his nose, and, I mean, he could give you some looks.
Oh, yeah.
He looked at me and he said, when I'm taping the show, and he goes, well, Mr. Wheeler, he said, that was a really brilliant point you just made. Now, would you like to ask me a question? So I looked at him. I stopped the tape. I said, all right, Jimmy, we'll do it. But that's the point. It drives me crazy when, and you know, big-time network people and all, too, they just throw out a statement. And then the guy said, yeah, well, that's right. No, ask a question. And I would hope that everybody that tries to teach journalism nowadays and broadcasting and interview techniques is ask a question and don't make a statement, because nobody's on listening to the interview to hear how smart you are.
Well, I always tell them ask what and why questions.
Yeah, that's good.
Instead of, in other words, don't make a statement, but don't ask a yes or no question either.
Yep.
Ask a what or a why question. That way it gives them a chance to answer. And the bottom line is, you don't have to sit there. Just ask the question. You don't have to prove how smart you are. You're already sitting there.
Right. That's really well put. I never quite thought of it that way, but that's probably the way that I did it. We all make mistakes. And
you did
every once in a while, you'll tick the guy off. But what are you going to do?
But you did hundreds of these, and I'll bet on hundreds of these, 95% of the time you ask what or why questions, and maybe out of fatigue, 5% of the time didn't.
That's so true. And the other thing was, when you mentioned Charlie. Well, Charlie had a tendency to drop a cuss word or two in there. He didn't have a real good filter. So I would just let it go. And he'd finish the show, and he'd say, how was that one today, Wheels? Was that all right? And I'm thinking, oh, man, I got to call Jim Jackson and do about 4 edits. I'd say, Chuck, that was outstanding. No problem. I'll see you later. Good luck tonight. And I'm walking out of his office going, oh, boy, do we have to fix that baby up. Because we got to get the hells and the dams out of there. So that would be one of those things with Chuck that you always knew, not always, but you knew you were going to have to fix them sometimes. But he was so honest. He had a great word a player got a little bit flusterated. Well, that was a combination of two words, and everybody knew what he meant.
Like, it's like strategic.
Flusterated.
It's like strategery. All right. So.
Yeah, right.
Charlie
had his own language.
Oh, my. Well, but here's another element, too. The recorder's off. Okay. Mm. And you've developed a good rapport. You've developed a good rapport. Sometimes you're one of the few people they can talk to.
Yep.
And
Steve, I can't begin to tell you how many times I had a manager call me their personal shrink. That and you know, we would. I may have spent 45 minutes in that office with the guy for a 5 minute show. Mm-hmm. But we would talk about so many things, and then we do the show, and then we talk about more things afterwards. And as you brought up at the beginning of this conversation, is when they trust you, they need to bounce some stuff off you that they can't bounce off anybody else maybe at that particular right. time. So they really look forward to you coming in there at that time. And I could always tell when it was going to be one of those days where I might be there. And then, of course, you know, they look at you and say, get out of here. I don't have any more time for you. Like, get out of here. And you're thinking, well, you know, I've sat in here all this time with you because you wanted to talk. And it always made me feel better when they would say that to you later on. Hey, I do appreciate that you act as a shrink for me. And I always enjoyed it, too.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I'm talking like every coach I've been with, every one of them has always been, hey, you know, they'll talk to you for a little bit. Right? Because there's some things they need to get off. Either they have a question about something, not about anything I'm doing, but like they may have a question about something, or they may have, or they want to get something out there. You can't believe how things are going with X out there. Oh my goodness! Right? One of the coaches one time said to me, he says, "It would really help our cause if you knew the plays."
Yeah, that would that'd be like saying it's the catcher boy. Nice if you put the right fingers down once in a while.
I'll text you the name of the player, by the way. Okay, you'll love it. I will.
Well, we had a catcher one time that one of our pitchers used to think he could clean both ears with one Q-tip. You know, so that was not a good thing when you had a catcher like that. That just he couldn't remember what fingers to put down, or they wanted to put first sign after two, and he would never put a two down. So you know, the pitcher would be going crazy. Like, I'm looking for a two, and I'm looking for the next sign after that. The other thing about managers, and you do it with coaches and all, is sometimes they'll say something when you're in one of those off the record sessions that is on the record that you can use in the interview you're going to do. Right. And I always thought it was good to be a good listener too.
Oh, Wheels, that's the whole name of the game in doing interviews. Ask what and why questions, and then listen. Don't be thinking, and I tell my students, I texted you the name, by the way.
Oh, all right, I'll check it out later.
You got to check out.
I'm afraid I'll hang up on you.
But I tell them, ask what or why questions. I said, but don't get married to all the questions you have. Listen to what they're saying. They may take the interview in a direction that's better for the audience.
So well done. I mean, that's perfect. The one thing you don't ever want to do when you're doing an interview is write down your questions.
Oh,
if you can avoid it. Because you won't listen.
Did you ever?
You won't be listening.
No. Have you ever written down?
No, I never.
Neither have I.
No.
I've never written down a single question.
No.
Never.
Because you need to play off, as you said, you need to play off the manager, in our case, or the player, and not have a whole list of questions in front of you. You know that I've got to work these in, because the odds are he will answer that question and then you'll repeat the thing, and you really sound foolish, like you're not paying attention.
Yeah, I've never written down a question for a sports interview, never. You gotta have a feel for the game to begin with. So I mean, that's why you're sitting there. They think you have a feel for the game to start with.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, and look, not everybody that they have interview sessions with are inside baseball, inside football, inside basketball people. They're just sometimes they're just professional broadcasters who are doing the best they can do. Luckily, in our cases, I was a pretty good inside baseball guy, and you obviously are a very good inside football, basketball guy, and probably other things that you do too. So that really helps that they know that. And that they can talk to you on a certain level, and that way you're able to really able to share things with your listeners. And let's face it, the number one thing you're doing there is that's not in for you, that interview, or for him. That is to try and entertain the audience that's going to listen to it later and help them learn something.
It means so much to me that you called in today. As soon as I heard the voice, I said I got 1,000 things I need to talk to this guy about. All right.
But by the way, a pretty good recruiting class, huh?
The recruiting class is, I'll tell you, I have not watched the 9 that are here yet. I'm going to probably go to a workout in maybe 2 or 3 weeks to to start getting a gauge on the nine kids that are here. But they think 23 could be an even better class. And if you can start stacking classes, Wheels, now you're going in a great direction.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the day that when they put all the classes out that were ahead of Ohio State. That gets so annoying, the way they keep recruiting as well as they do. But more power to them. They're terrific in what they're able to do.
I got a text from Stout. He wants his ball back. No, just kidding.
It's out here on the first tee. I'll get it for him.
You are one of the greatest things over the years is the friendship that we have. I think the world of this guy, just like Philly fans, you thought the world of him. You'd think even higher of him if you knew him. So, Wheels, thanks so much, buddy. You're the greatest.
Thank you, Steve. Our friendship means a lot to me, too, and we'll keep in touch.
You bet.
All right.
Chris,
take care.
Now, that's a way to cap it off, huh? Chris Wheeler.
I saved the best for last.
He is phenomenal. All right. We have Bob Nightingale, by the way, in the next half hour to talk about where they are in baseball at this moment. And I did text Wheels the name. He'll love it. I can't wait to see his response. Matt, great job this week. Very enjoyable.
Thank you. Great
mystery guest. Loved all of them. I kidded around with Coach Shrews last night. Getting Wheels was phenomenal. Kenny Albert, phenomenal. Getting Sean Carey on today, phenomenal. It was great. So thank you so much for doing all
that. My pleasure.
All right. Next week, we return to normal. All right. I know we're going to have Nate Bauer on Monday's show, so I know we got that part. Okay? Bob Nightingale next. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour of the week of the show, and there's no mystery guest this time. Okay, I want to thank all the mystery guests who called in this week. You have no idea what it's meant to me that all of them did. It's something that's, it's been special to deal with everybody along the way. I have been very fortunate to sit in this chair for 10 years. I've done, obviously, over my lifetime, a lot of local radio. So, I've always done local radio during the course of my career. Always have. Because, there'll be a point in my career where maybe I'm just doing games, but you always, have to have other jobs in this business. And I look back on doing college radio for 3 years and then professional radio for 42 years. So 1980, I started in professional radio, 42 years. And I can tell you in no uncertain terms, the best experience I have had in local radio has been doing this show. The best. From day one, the best. Roger Haddon is the one that came up with this idea. And it is, so this is all his baby. But this is what's made Roger different than everybody else. Roger has always been someone that is a leader, that thinks outside of the box, and comes up with innovative ideas. The Philly podcast is another one of his ideas along the way. But there's a long list of them. This is all his baby, right, as to how this was put together. And that's the kind of person you want to work for, someone that is a thinker, someone that is a leader, someone that comes up with great ideas and then allows you to execute it. Allows you to do it. That's Roger, right? I think to call him a friend would be an understatement. He has been phenomenal, the entire Haddon family, all of them. Obviously, people like
Kevin, as much as I make fun of the suit, as much as I, you know, but it's all part of the fun of working here. I love Kevin, right? And for the first few years, he was the co-host, and then, you know, now that he's moved on into the management part, he has been a huge supporter on the management part of this and the sales part of it, which has been great. You know, obviously Sarah Bartlett, Sean Carey, right? Now Matt Cotrillo. You know, we've got other people that have filled in from time to time that have been great. Matt has been just phenomenal. You know, he's a great broadcaster. He loves doing the show. We have fun with his personality, which is great. And, you know, and Matt works like everybody else. They are always working hard. They're the ones that line up all the guests. My goodness. I mean, me? I mean, I just sit here and get it, you know, try and do my part. But they've just been great. And the audience. Well, so let's get to the part that may, you know, this doesn't happen without the audience. All of you have been great. All the calls are phenomenal. I love taking calls. And I hope that we've been able to give you a good, solid perspective on sports. Doesn't mean I'm sitting here right about everything. I'm married, so I know I'm not right about everything. But I hope we've been able to do that. To give you a good, maybe even a different perspective. Because when you're there all the time, like I'm there at football, I'm there at basketball. It's not, yeah, have I ever been to a wrestling practice? Yeah. Have I ever been to a volleyball practice? Yeah. Have I ever been to a women's basketball practice? Yeah. I have, all this stuff. You pick up a lot of information along the way as to how it works and how it doesn't work, or why it works or why it doesn't work. And we try to at least incorporate that into the show to give you a better feel for sports. And I've had as much fun listening to the guests as you have, but we don't do this without all of you. And then, finally, Sunbury Motors, Tom Mertz. This studio doesn't happen without a sponsorship. This is the Sunbury Motors studio. And it's because Tom believed in this and in the station that we have this. The Sunbury Motors studio is invaluable, not only to what I'm doing with this show, but to many other endeavors. Right? Last year during the pandemic, the Sunbury Motors studio was used to do the Penn State Coaches Show on Thursday night. It's used all the time for the Daily Show that you hear, the Sunbury Motors studio. Purdy Insurance has been with us since day one. Adam Purdy, of course, you know, we know how much we deal with Steve Engel. You know, all the Purdy family, all of them, incredible and great, great supporters of this show all the time, since day one. And that Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, I'll play in that thing as long as they keep asking me, because it's for local charity, for the Susquehanna Valley, Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, and it's you know, about the Purdy family giving back. And I think the world of the Purdy family, like I do of Tom Mertz and everything Tom does with Sunbury Motors and Penn's Tavern, by the way. And then, of course, there's Corey at Brewers Outlet, today's sponsor. Corey's just the greatest guy on the planet to deal with. He's got a great business, right? And again, same story. They've been with us since day one. Since day one. This doesn't happen without all those people, and it turns out my name's on it. Okay. Yeah, my name's on, so I've got to do my part. But it doesn't happen with the long list of people I just talked about. The sales staff, the great job that they do, you know, Kevin and Mertzi and everybody. Okay? So I just want to make sure I said all that before we get to Bob Nightingale. And Bob, welcome. Great to have you with us. We'll go from that to talking about tough subject, baseball, right now.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
Well, it sounds like right now they're circling a fogged-in airport, which happens in negotiations, but it's happening now with spring training allegedly on the horizon, which right now it's not. So how do you view where things are right now?
No, it's a great way you put it, Steve. Yeah, just kind of circling, and there's really has been much movement at all in 2 months. You know, and the players said, well, okay, we'll stay at free agency at 6 years. The owners say, okay, we're not going to blow up salary arbitration. Well, neither is going to happen anyway. So they've made so just inching toward the thing. I think that's why I got so testy yesterday. is that, you know, MLB was saying, wait a minute now, you've had a week and this is all you're coming back with, these, you know, small movements. And the union comes back, so, well, you guys need to move more. So if you're not moving, we're not moving. So we'll see. I mean, now, you know, I mean, pitchers and catchers, the first report was the 15th and first workout the 16th. I don't see how that's going to possible. I mean, I would think you need to sit down for at least a week, day after day, to get something done. So I think now the best hope is, okay, all the players and pitchers and catchers are in camp by March 1st.
Right. That's the date I thought you were going to say. All right. So is this a case, Bob? Sometimes it's an issue that holds it up, okay, and, you know, based on the negotiation. They can't get past it. Is this one where it's multiple issues, where it just doesn't seem like there's common ground anywhere?
Well, it's multiple issues, but the funny thing, Steve, is they do have some common ground. I mean, the players, you know, the union says, okay, we want to put some measures in there to avoid tanking. So how about draft lottery for, you know, 8 picks? And baseball says, yeah, we agree. We think there should be a draft lottery for 3 picks. So, you know, at least, you know, they're talking. The luxury tax. Okay, you know, baseball says, okay, we'll go from 210 to 214 because the owner has, you know, lost money over the years with the COVID. And baseball is saying, now, wait a minute now. You guys are selling those things for a killing when you sell the franchise. You're making money. Our salaries have gone down. So how about 245?
Right.
So, you know, you can reach a compromise there.
Yes.
You know, the arbitration class, you know, the guys aren't getting paid, so they want more the minimum salary. Baseball's at 615, the union's at 775.
Yeah, you can find it.
Split the difference. Yeah. And so no, those are about the main things. It's not like, you know, steadfast, like, okay, the owners want a salary cap and they're not moving unless they have one, or, you know, the union is not saying, you know, give us free agency after 3 or 4 years. So there is common ground there. They've addressed those things. Even a bonus pool. So the players from 0 to 3, if you're not eligible for arbitration, you know, you're going to get a lot more money than you did. So they just have to, you know, they're arguing as far as how much money is the right amount.
It's interesting because, you know, you talked about a salary cap. Now, the luxury tax is sort of a, like, you know, cap for some teams. That's why the players want to see it go up. But I know when I talked to Pirate fans, they were saying, give us a salary cap because that means there's a salary floor and that'll force my team to spend money. But that's not even on the table, is it, Bob?
No, it was, Steve. I mean, baseball proposed that $100 million floor.
Right.
And then union said, you know, like you did, like, well, if there's a floor, it means there's going to be a cap. The cap will come, and we don't want a cap.
Yeah.
The trouble is, a luxury tax is almost like a cap. There were like five teams.
Agreed.
That were just within five teams of 210. The only team that exploded right past it were the Dodgers. You know, cost them $35 million in penalties. This year, it looks like, you know, the Mets are going to explode right past it. So, you know, I'm still not sure how many teams will blow past it because you don't want to just, you know, throw away $35 million when, you know, if you don't have to. So we'll see. But I, you know, I can, you know, I think 214 is, you know, too low, and 245, yeah, maybe you get to 245, but not jumping $35 million right off the top. But they can split the difference.
Sure, they can. They can split the. I mean, in fact, I'm sitting there and I say, you know what, let's go 245. That way you get what you want, and let's take the minimum salary. Let's go to 700. It's not as much as you want, but it's more than we propose. There's things you can do like that where you feel like everybody's winning a little bit.
Yeah, and the union argues that the baseball with the new tax, you know, that it would be double the penalties from before. So they can, you know, baseball can come back and say, okay, we'll use the same penalties before. We're not going to double them.
What? How do you view the Oakland and Tampa Bay ballpark situations right now?
Well, I mean, Tampa's, you know, back at square one. I thought the Montreal thing was a complete joke. Like,
you know.
Are you serious? Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I was actually at the Outback Bowl to broadcast the game when it came out that they weren't going to go to the Montreal thing was out.
Yeah, no one thought that was going to work outside, owners in Tampa.
Nobody
did. Yeah, like if you want to split the things, like why in the world would you build a brand new ballpark in Tampa and a brand new ballpark in Montreal and split the season. Just get their result. So yeah, I still think Tampa. I still think it will work if they move it to the Tampa side.
Agreed.
Yeah, traffic's so bad, you know, going with that bridge. Yeah.
Well, not only that, one of the bridges went out just before I got there was hit. And they were putting construction on that bridge to get over to St. Petersburg. I mean, and again, to let you know how out of touch they were going to put up that ad on the wall in the playoffs.
Oh man, I remember that. Yep.
It's like, okay, excuse me, yeah. Are you in touch with your fan base here?
Right. Yeah, let's just rub it in our fan's face. It was almost like telling the fans, get the last look at us in the playoffs because we'll be having a playoff game in Montreal.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. Get a grip. Hey, who did you, if you don't mind revealing it, who did you vote for the Hall of Fame?
So I vote for guys who weren't suspended for steroid use. Mm-hmm. So I vote for, you know, Bonds, Clemens, Sammy Sosa, Gary Sheffield. And then I did vote for Schilling, Ortiz, of course, what am I missing? Jeff Kent and Billy Wagner. So eight guys.
Okay.
And I did not vote for Alex Rodriguez or Manny Ramirez. And my thing is, before 2004, it was the Wild Wild West. There was no drug testing. So my thing is, hey, if you're on a 200-mile stretch of highway, you know, there's not going to be any police cars around or radar guns. You're not going 55. You're going as fast as you want. And that's what the, you know, baseball players are doing. Hey, if you're not going to test us, we'll keep doing this stuff. But once testing went in place, everybody knew what the repercussions were. And for guys like that, you know, Manny and A-Rod, you know, Manny got caught three times. A-Rod, you know, the longest drug suspension history. I mean, they crushed their teams. You know, you can argue all Bonds and Clemens did was help their teams when, you know, A-Rod and Manny, you know, ruin their team seasons. So yeah, I mean, I'll be the same way with a Nelson Cruz when he goes on the ballot, or Robinson Cano.
Uh-huh.
Same thing.
And you know what? And that's a standard. I understand you're going by what quote the facts are, and not what the guessing is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it bothers me too, because I bet in the last 10 years, Steve, I bet we voted in 6 or 7 guys that were, you know, big time steroid guys. It's like, come on, these guys are in. And it's almost like if Bonds hadn't broken Hank Aaron's record, I think he'd be in. If Roger Clemens wasn't winning Cy Young Awards in his 40s, I think he'd be in. I think those guys were almost like too great. Like, okay, we got to stop this.
Yeah. Just for the sake of just throwing it out there, you voted for 8, you could vote for 10. No Todd Helton. Any reason that you've held back on Todd Helton? And because I thought he was really good. Now, is he good enough to be in?
I thought he was just short. And my one thing, I could change my mind. My one thing is, how in the world should anybody vote for Todd Helton to the Hall of Fame when Fred McGriff's not in?
I'm with you.
So much better.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing with Bagwell. I can't believe McGriff's not in. And, you know, hey, if Helton's playing all those home games at Coors Field, he's a first baseman, you should have over, you know, whatever he has, mm-hmm. mid-300 home runs. You should be hitting over 500 home runs. But it really bothers me. I hope when the Veterans Committee, you know, called the Golden Era Committee, meets in December and does their vote, I really hope that, you know, McGriff's in there, Bruce Bochy, you know, the manager, is in there. And, you know, it's two, you know, maybe re-examine Bonds and Clemens, you know, down the road. They meet again in 2 years. You know, they'll meet twice every 5 years for, you know, forever. I think those guys maybe get in one day, but I don't see them getting in now. I go back for the induction ceremony every summer, and those Hall of Famers, I mean, they want no part of anyone with steroid suspicions in the Hall of Fame.
Right. By the way, for the uninitiated, Fred McGriff hit, I think, 493 home runs in his career.
Right. Yep, you're right, Steve. Yep. Yeah, I just did a piece on him. He had 10 seasons of 30 or more homers, 11 seasons of 90 or more ribbies. I mean, and just a class act. You know, even John Smoltz says, you know, I can't believe it. But, yeah, I thought the writers did a horrible job not recognizing, you know, just what this guy did. You know, and the base of my column was, hey, how about the guys who were hurt by steroid era? And I think McGriff was hurt by it because he didn't have these, you know, 50, 60 home run seasons. So, you know, the most he ever hit was 37, but just very consistent.
Right, exactly right. And but you know what? Hank Aaron never hit over 50.
Right.
Never did. And guess what?
Yeah.
You end up with 755. Well, guess what? You cobble together 31, 35, 37, 34, you know, 32, 31. You're going to hit 493 of them, right? There's a consistency there that needs to be. I'm with you all the way on that one.
Yeah. I think the funny thing is, no one really talks about it. It's just a difference in the voting between a Sammy Sosa and a David Ortiz. I mean, David Ortiz was, you know, he was just almost a baggage, just an ordinary player in Minnesota for 6 years.
Yes.
Took off in Boston. Sammy Sosa, ordinary player with the Texas Rangers and the White Sox, took off with the Cubs. You know, yeah. Okay, no other reasons. But yeah, it's just amazing how the separation of voting between those two guys.
Oh, and by the way, if anybody's wondering if, maybe it was the postseason. Fred McGriff, I think, hit 10 postseason home runs. So it wasn't
just look that up. Yeah, man. Yeah, you're right on. Yep.
All right. Bob, absolute pleasure. I always enjoy it. I just wish we were talking about games right now and races instead of talking about, you know, the issues of it. But thank you again.
Yeah, my pleasure as always. Thank you, Steve.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today. I was talking about all the thank yous earlier, starting with Roger Haddon, but I want to thank every guest that has ever been on the show so far. Somebody said, hey, 10 years, here's the 10 more years. Well, like I said, this has been the single most enjoyable experience I've ever had in local radio. And I'm talking by a wide margin. It's because of the station I'm with, WKOK, Sunbury Broadcasting, and because of the people I work for and work with, and because of you, the listeners. That's what's made it the best experience of my local broadcast career. All right, off to Madison. Nittany Lions taking on Wisconsin. Thanks so much for being with us all 10 years, and here's to the next 10 years. And Matt, thank you. And Roger, I can't say enough great things about you. And the suit on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.